I think what I'm going to do is, actually, I'm just going to entitle this message "Rock," and which stands for Releasers of Christ's Kingdom. So R-O-C-K. Most churches or ministries that call themselves Rock, they're talking about Jesus being the Rock of Ages, or, you know, I will build my church upon the rock. You know, that's where they're referencing that. Rock has nothing to do with that. I mean, that, not that that's bad, but it was an acronym that we came up with to describe what we wanted to be about in terms of our lives. We wanted to be those who released the kingdom, right? We wanted to be releasers of Christ's kingdom. Just to kind of rewind kind of to the week and maybe even the last couple of weeks. And I think that I'm assuming that this is broader than just this country, but I can't assume that. It does seem that at least people that I'm aware of in the United States would feel maybe some of this as well. But clearly here, I mean, you know, Natalie and I were talking about like a feeling like there's a cloud or a heaviness or an oppression or a fatigue, you know, people feeling hopeless, maybe a weariness, just kind of just resting on the country, you know, right now. And I mean, there'd be days where I'd go outside, and I mean, one day we went out. I mean, we felt like you could like feel it. You could just sense it, you know. It was like an atmosphere, you know.
And it's like, can you feel that?
Yeah.
A lot of times you don't, you know, feel.
Yeah.
Things. And I was like, oh, you feel it?
To my friends, I feel like everyone feeling this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's like a.
So I was like, it's not us.
There's like a climate, like it's an atmosphere, and I assume that it's. I mean, you know, okay. I mean, just taking Corona alone, that alone, and just the lack of clarity about, you know, what even nations are doing about it and how we're going to get past it. I mean, it's just kind of this ongoing thing, you know, it's like, is this ever going to end kind of a thing? And, you know, of course it affects all of our lives, either directly, indirectly, and everyone we meet is, I mean, you just start to talk to them and it's like, oh, we just want Corona to end. We just want to be able to go and, you know, go on leave, see our family, see my wife, see my kids. I mean, it is so heavy. Like, you just feel it, right? And so I just felt like, okay, so what do you do when you're in a place where, because heaviness and a cloud, it's also a time where people are having a real hard time seeing accurately into the future. It's just not, there's a lack of clarity right now. So I think one of the things, and I'll get into some scriptures here in just a second, but one of the things that you've probably heard this statement before, don't forget in the dark what God has shown you in the light, right? It's an expression, right? So God's going to reveal something to you when you see clearly, and you're not supposed to forget that when you are actually walking in a time of heaviness or darkness. When you're not seeing the breakthroughs, you're not hearing from God, maybe you're not connecting or whatever, there's this climate. And so I was out praying, and Natalie and I had been talking about just some of the things that are really needed in this hour. And one of the things that's needed in this hour is for people to connect with vision. And if you're not getting fresh new vision, then the next thing you do is you connect with the last vision that God gave you, right? I mean, the last word that God has spoken is the word that we need to be tending to until he gives us a new word, mm-hmm. right? You know, so the last words that Jesus gave to his disciples was to go into all the world and to bring this gospel of the kingdom to the whole world. And I'll be with you until the end of the age. Right? He's never changed that assignment, right? So, like, that's the verse I want to start with today. In Matthew 24, Jesus says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be proclaimed or preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come.
Matthew 24:14.
So, being releasers of Christ's kingdom is part of that mandate that Jesus gave. So it's an old mandate, but God, you know, gave us our assignment that we are to be releasers of Christ's kingdom. Now, it's important that we emphasize kingdom, because it was years after I was a Christian that actually anybody explained to me that the gospel of the kingdom was different than the gospel that I had heard in churches. They would call that, they call that the gospel of salvation, which was a verbal message, you know, believe on Jesus, your sins will be forgiven, you'll be born again, and that's it. Okay? But you ask yourself the question, is that what Jesus did? And the answer is no. He went around, he preached a message about him being the king, he talked about a kingdom, and when he did that, he healed sick people and he cast out demons. That was the gospel of the kingdom. But see, I didn't go to a church that actually believed that we were able to do any of the things that Jesus did, or that his disciples did, or that the early church did. It was just, you know, we have a book now and we go around and we tell people an idea and they have to agree to the idea and then they get saved. So it's very purposeful that we call ourselves Rock, because if you are a person who is releasing the kingdom, what it means is that the king is with you. Jesus said, go and preach this message. The kingdom of God is here. And then what does that look like? Oh, if you're sick, you get healed. If you have demonic oppression, you get delivered. If you're fearful, you get set free. That's what the gospel of the kingdom is. But, you know, through Chinese whispers of 2,000 years of church history, you know, it's like they started out, you go do what I said, heal the sick, cast out demons, and talk about, you know, the king is on the planet. And when the king leaves, he says, lo, I'm with you always, even till the end of the age. How is he with us? He says, I will go, but I will send somebody after a little bit, the Holy Spirit, and he will be with you and he will be in you. So when Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age, the way that he was going to be with us always until the end of the age was we were going to have the Holy Spirit living within us. That's the presence of God, right? And so Jesus is forever present with us because Jesus is God, you know? And so that was what he said. When, lo, I'm with you always, he was alluding to the fact that he was going to send the Spirit, right? So we have to remember that that is our vision and our mandate. Right now, in the middle of all of this craziness, we have a mandate from God to wherever we go to do the things that Jesus did.
Yes.
And I want to tell you that I, even in the middle of all this heaviness and darkness and you know, stuff we're waiting to see breakthrough in, stuff we're waiting. I mean, I look around this room and there's so much breakthrough that is needed in almost everybody's life, things that people are contending for. They have not seen the breakthrough yet. There's circumstances where we're stuck. There's situation, relationships that are not healed up. I mean, we have other things going on with people in our kind of our Rock community or our extended Rock community, marriages in trouble that we're trying to see healed. I mean, all this stuff, right? That is going on right now, you know, and health problems that people have. And, you know, there's some here that are going after, you know, weight loss journeys and, you know, and all of it. So we're all in the middle of stuff. And in the middle of all of that, we have this mandate wherever we go to release the kingdom, to be releasers of Christ's kingdom. And I want to tell you, I didn't share this during testimony time because I was going to share it as part of the sermon illustration, but Natalie and I are out on a walk and we're walking past there's some new coffee shops over here behind this Caribou across the street. Some, unfortunately, very expensive coffee shops. I mean, they charge. I mean, I have to say this. This is obscene. But like a cappuccino, there is like 2 KD 750. I'm like, let's do the math on that. That is $10. That is $10. A cappuccino.
Does it have like gold?
No, exactly. Yeah, no, yeah, crazy. Yeah. So when I go to Shake Shack and get a large cappuccino for 750 fills, I'm dancing. Like, you know, who cares if it came from one of those crazy machines?
You know? Don't care about taste.
Anyway, so it's obscene. It's obscene. So we went by this place, and we're interacting. They're just open, and we're interacting with one of the, I think she's probably the manager. She's Filipino. And just while we were sitting there, the Lord just said to me, you know, she's worried about her brother. So, like, I said, are you worried about your brother right now? I feel like the Lord wants me to ask you that. And at first, she's like, it just didn't drop at all. She's like,
I don't have a brother.
Yeah, first of all. And then I just came in and I said, you don't have a brother in the Philippines that you're worried about? She said, yes, I do. Like, first of all, she said, no, I don't, which could have put me off. Sometimes when somebody says, well, you know, you're like, I just feel like your husband is, you know, you're given a word, or you're, you know, they're like, my husband died. And you're like, oh, that word fell. I could have stopped. No, it didn't. But I could have stopped when she said, I don't have a brother, but I knew it was a word from the Lord.
I thought it was so weird when you're like, what about your brother? I'm like, why is he asking? She just said she doesn't have one. But I think they're so estranged. It's like so, she hasn't seen him in so long that that's how she reacted. I put it here.
Oh, okay.
Did you want it?
Yeah, I want it. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. So
it was as if she didn't have a brother.
Yeah. Wow.
Crazy, huh?
So anyway, you know, I was able to pray for her and pray for that situation, which really, I mean, she was like almost crying at the end of that encounter. Mm-hmm. And then I walked home and I just said, you know, okay, we're in the middle of this heaviness and this darkness and this, you know, everybody's, you know, we just started declaring, like, you know, this week, 17 U.S. states just said, you know, forget it. We're opening up. No mask. We're done with Corona. Forget it. You know, telling the, you know, the fake administration in power right now and all these radical leftists, forget you. We're just doing our own thing. We're not doing this whole COVID scandemic thing anymore. We're, you know, it's like, yeah, it's a real sickness, but we're not going to continue to destroy our economies and destroy lives over it. And they just decided we're done. This happened this week. Cool. So we're like, yesterday we're praying. It's like, may the state of Kuwait be like the state of Texas, you know, and then of course we get the
later.
Yeah. One thing we got breakthrough on, I feel
so strongly though.
Yeah. One thing we got breakthrough on, I felt like, is that they decided they're going to open up the gyms.
On Sunday.
Doesn't make any sense. Who knows? Doesn't make any sense. So anyway, so I walked home and I'm just like, you know what? In the middle of this heaviness, the kingdom just came in to that coffee shop. And I mean, that just lit up my day.
Yeah.
Well, so the next day we're down there praying again and we're walking, and this was yesterday, actually. We're walking and we go by the same coffee shop, and, you know, we decided we're going to go in there and give them some business. You know, and we cut off our arms and gave the arm.
Okay, we didn't get the cappuccino.
I know. We cut off our arms to get, you know, to get Americanos.
I stole my wedding ring.
Yeah. Anyway. You know, and it was really large, too. What is it about? Not only is it's like, okay, if you're going to charge me an arm and a leg, give me some coffee.
You know, big one.
Yeah. Give me a big one. Yeah,
Dave talked to the manager.
Yeah, so.
But this is funny.
So anyway, I was a little bit like I'm looking at the prices, kind of choking on the whole thing. And then we're walking out, and Natalie's rebuking me. She's like, you got so offended by the prices that you didn't even get a word for anybody in there. Oh, yeah, this is it. So we're walking, and, you know, she's kind of, and there's all these people, you know, they just opened up. So there's like, you know, like sometimes these places are like 10 people in a place that even if they were busy, three people should be in there. I mean, it was like, there's 10 people in this place.
You mean the
all the people working there. It's ridiculous. There's no customers. There's like 10 people in this little space.
It's crazy.
So anyway, we're walking and, you know, and Natalie was, you know, acting as the third person of the Trinity for a bit there. And
I'm super good at it.
She is. I affirm that. And I don't like it, but I affirm it. Anyway, so then a word of knowledge slams into my neck and my shoulder. And now, you got to know, because I've been having neck problems, it was clearly different than the pain that I've been dealing with in my neck. And I said, I got to go back. And so we marched back and got our dumb masks out again so we could, you know, fake put them on our face to walk back in. And I walked in, and all 12 people are there, and I'm like, God just showed me that somebody has a neck problem, and right here, and who is that? And the Filipino manager, I believe it was, the one that had gotten the word the next day.
For the day before.
She pointed to the Kuwaiti owner.
Wait, he's the owner?
I think so. I mean, he's Kuwaiti. Either that or
like
whatever. Yeah, a young guy. Anyway, I think it's his deal.
Okay.
Anyway.
He looked even younger than that.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay.
And he's freaking out. He's like, okay, I have no idea what's going on here. How in the world would you know that?
Wow.
So all of a sudden, and you should have seen the Filipino manager from the day before. I mean, I'm so happy that there's Christians working in there because we don't even have to share anything. Like, we just leave and they're going to be talking about what just happened. So I had...
Ahmed, right?
Yeah, Ahmed. I don't know if I had him put his hand there or whatever. Yeah, okay. Anyway, I didn't know.
He's like, what are you doing? He's like, just put your hand here. He's like this. Like, you just obeyed him.
Anyway, so I prayed. And I prayed in Jesus' name, healing. And in Arabic and English, I just kind of, there was a couple Arabs, so I figured they needed to know what was going on too. So anyway, and then he was healed and we left, right? And all that to say, like, in the middle of this, you know, we were kind of encouraged because the whole Texas thing and all these states that just said we're done with corona. And we're like, that would be awesome. Kuwait needs to be done. We just need to just stop this whole thing, open everything up and deal. Right. And like, we're just kind of praying and the weather's changing yesterday. I mean, today it got really cold early, but yesterday there was like light was shining through the clouds. So we're just declaring it. And then there's this, and then, of course, later in the day, oh, we're going to lockdown. So that was kind of a downer. But the whole thing is that very encouraged, again, to be releasing the kingdom in the middle of a sucky pandemic and a lot of circumstances that we don't like. You know, there's so many things right now. If we just add it up, it's like it's really dark, heavy, right? And you know, I think we all feel, you know, we all feel a little bit trapped right now. It feels like that, you know, and nobody knows when it's going to end, right? And so in the middle of all that, though, the ray of light is the kingdom breaks out.
Yes.
Lives are changed, and we are encouraged to keep going. And this is our mandate, regardless of what other mandates or emphasis or focus or whatever else God is saying, he's always encouraging us to be those who are releasing the kingdom. All right? Now, another verse that the Lord highlighted to me today, and I brought this up a few weeks ago. Again, it's Proverbs 29:18, and that's the famous verse, where there is no vision, the people perish. Or another translation says, without prophetic vision, people run wild. And another one says, where there is no prophetic revelation, people cast off or abandoned restraint. And I feel this is something Natalie and I have been talking about, is that right now there is a famine of vision in this land.
Yeah.
I mean, half the churches are still thinking that God's into Zoom meetings. That's like where they're at. Like, we're just, I mean, I can't tell you how many people that we're talking to, hey, is your church gathering? We're still doing Zoom. I'm like, The Lord spoke to me months ago that it was time to Zoom from the Zoom.
Oh, nice. Very good, that one.
Yeah.
Nice.
No.
It's when you started the meeting at your house.
Yes. To Zoom from the Zoom. Yeah. Zoom from the Zoom. The Lord, all through 2020, the Lord would speak to me with these phrases. It's time to go home.
Yeah.
And look, we leave the villa, which was a home, but we left the villa and we started gathering again in the home. I don't think that's ever going to change, by the way, guys. I think that the life and of the church that God is emphasizing in this season is if there's time for us to gather big or in a bigger context, that should be the secondary. But the life of the church is the lifeblood is in the home. It started in homes, and I believe it's going to end in homes. But anyway, so I think that right now in this country, for sure, when I start hearing these people say, well, we're just meeting on Zoom, I'm like, could you tell me where your pastor lives? Because I want to go wring his neck. I want to go and I want to tell you guys, did you get the memo that you could actually meet now? I mean, honestly, like, half the churches in America that I know and Bible studies, they're still going on in this Zoom thing. And it's like, did you guys get the memo like 9 months ago that you could have stopped that? And they just carry on, right? Oh, it's so convenient. We just roll out of bed and we just open up our computer screens. And anyway, so let's just come back to this verse, Proverbs 28. So God has spoken prophetically about, I mean, When Jesus gave the mandate that we have to preach and manifest the kingdom until he returns, he gave us an assignment. So regardless of whatever else we're doing, we have a vision. And then throughout this year, God has given us all sorts of ideas and visions that we should be doing. And I'm like, okay, if people are fearful, then we're still fear extinguishing. And of course, all of the things that we've been doing.
Discipleship.
Yes. Discipling people outside.
Discipleship.
Discipling people and connecting people. And so I feel like there is a famine right now, a vision, and people are confused. They're like, what visionaries should we be listening to? Because some said this was going to happen. Others say it's not going to happen. There is a war going on in the prophetic because the prophets have all canceled each other out. You know, some gave words and then they repented. Others are sticking to their words. Others are saying, oh, you know, this end time harvest is upon us. And I'm like, all the other words that you gave last year didn't come true. So why should we believe you about an end time harvest? I mean, I'm being real. Like, honestly, I feel like there's a credibility issue. It's like, if the things that you said last year didn't come to pass and fell flat, why are we just supposed to change gears in 2021 and think that all of a sudden now you're speaking the word of the Lord? Now, do we believe from Scripture that there's going to be an end time harvest? Yes. The Bible speaks about that there will be latter day rains. There will be an end time move of God. There are a number of scriptures. But whether or not we're entering into that season, there's all sorts of prophetic people. And listen, I love the word that revival's coming as much as anybody. But how do we know it's the word of the Lord? How do we know that it's really God's time, right? Unless we have heard that, right? Or unless God has confirmed that to us. So when I say that there is a famine of vision right now, I'm seeking the Lord for fresh vision. I'm like, okay, God, is it really, should we all be signing up that it's harvest time? Like, is that what you're saying? Is it the season of harvest that's about to come? Or did people call that out prematurely? Or did they, you know, there's a lot of things that people saw, but they might have got the timing wrong. Anyway, I'll come back to that. All right. So, as Natalie and I were talking, there's a couple things. One is, I do believe that there has been, right now, there is a famine of vision, fresh vision right now. And God, what I think God's going to do in this meeting and in the weeks to come, if we will contend for it, is he's going to renew your vision.
Amen.
He's going to renew whatever. If God wants to just update your virus definitions and update your vision so that he just reaffirms it, that's fine. Or it's going to be a completely new vision. It's either going to be, because that's the way God will work. He will, if he wants you to continue on in a vision that he's given before, he will renew it. And if he wants to give you fresh revelation or us, he will do that as well. So that's what I want to be contending for, is for a renewal of vision. So it's like, okay, God, I know what you said back in 2020 and we ran with that. But you know what? If you want us to still run with that, I'm asking for your grace. You're gracious. God is so gracious. He will renew the vision. And we'll get to hear it again. And we'll have new faith and new expectancy to run with it. That's something that I really believe that God is going to do for us, especially in a season called Lent, leading up to Easter or the Passover. We're in a time where we're pressing in and we're praying for breakthrough. So it's a season where we are contending for new things, right? And in the calendar, of course, the new thing that's coming is the death and resurrection that we celebrate of the Lord Jesus, right? And new life. And then on the other side, what comes after Easter? Pentecost, right? Just think of the calendar. Think of the story. Jesus, he dies. It's a time of incredible darkness, right? It's an incredible time of darkness. You know, when all of that stuff was going on, the whole week leading up to Jesus' crucifixion, you know, all of that was a very, you know, it's like, this is not working out the way we thought. Just imagine. Wait a second. You know, just even take what people in America were believing for. Wait a second. Our guy's not in office now. Wait, this is not working. Wait, somebody else has just been sworn in. Oh, it's going to the courts. Wait, the courts aren't taking the case. I mean, it's looking really like Good Friday. I don't know why it's called Good Friday, but you know, it's terrible Friday. But you know, we call it Good Friday. But it's like, that was like the low point of all of the disciples' lives, was Good Friday. Watching Jesus die, even though he told them he was going to die and rise from the dead, they didn't hear any of that. They didn't hear any of that. All they were thinking was, political Messiah is going to deliver us from Roman oppression. That's what they were thinking. This was not a part of their scenario, right? And yet, you know, one famous sermon is called It's Friday, but Sunday's coming, right? You know, resurrection. But on the other side of that is new life, the expectancy. I mean, you know, just imagine what was the birth of the church came on the other side of that. And so I believe that we are right now in a season where it's dark and it's heavy, and yet we need to be pressing in and getting a vision for more vision and a vision for breakthrough. And what do we do when if what we're doing is not working and we want to add to that, what do? You add fasting, prayer and fasting, right? There are tools, and then you press in. So it is a season of pressing in for more. And I would say, I don't know any Christian on the planet right now that would disagree that we need more in this hour. We need more breakthrough with Corona and changing our lives, everything. I mean, we need a lot more in almost every area that we could imagine right now. So, yeah, everything. All right. So there's a couple passages that I look at, because the second thing that there seems to be an incredible famine of in this hour, an incredible need for, is real discernment. People need to know who they can listen to, who they can trust. You know, if you think about what was going on, especially between like November and January, it's incredible the stuff that was coming out, you know. Oh, the CIA has gotten a server in Frankfurt, Germany with all of the evidence. I mean, it's crazy, all the stuff that was being said. You heard all this stuff. Like, people were following every different story, you know, that was, this is happening and that is happening and this and that. And, you know, the latest one that was being, you know, propped up. Yeah. March 4th, you know, we're going to march 4th on March 4th. And it's inauguration day, you know.
And now it's March 5th.
And now it's March 5th. So people have gone after everything under the sun. Seriously, over here and over there. And it's like, okay, these people were all together over here. Half of those people turned on those people and walked over here. Some of these people fell away from the faith. I mean, it's crazy. It's like, wait, the team was unified in October, and now there's 10 teams in March. So who do you listen to? I mean, honestly, like, people are trying to go with their, you know, my favorite leader, my favorite, and it's not even like one leader, one ministry, and another. You got like two people in the same ministry that are in complete disagreement, you know? Don't need to share an example, but we're all thinking of one right now where, like, the senior leaders of a church and their main prophetic guy are completely opposite in terms of what they think's going on and what's happening. I'm like, that's one church. It's one ministry. So there is such a need right now in this hour for us to be seeking the Lord for wisdom and discernment. Right? And I can give some examples of how he will do this, but God is going to give us the wisdom that we need to make the decisions that we need to make.
Amen.
Whatever those decisions are. And, you know, you go around this room. Do I do this or do I do that? Do I stay here or do I go there? Do I sign this paper or do I not sign this paper? I mean, we're dealing with a paper this week, you know, a legal document. Do we sign it? How does it work? Do we do it? You know, like, that we had to deal with, you know. So we are in a place where we really need God's. And it's not like it's going to be clear if God doesn't actually give us that discernment. So I want to read a passage from 1 Corinthians, because this is. If we are releasers of Christ's kingdom, the way that we release the kingdom is that we are moving in the gifts of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So this is what Paul said. I'm just going to read a few verses out of 1 Corinthians 12. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, here's Paul speaking to men and women. I do not want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to be aware. I can't tell you how many people, after being Christians for 20 years, 25 years, are still largely uninformed about the gifts of the Spirit that Paul lists here. They're uninformed. They're ignorant. They don't know, you know, they might actually believe that they all exist, but it's completely unacceptable, guys. If you've been a Christian for more than a couple of years and you have no idea what your gifts are, and you have no idea how to use the gifts that you have, you need to move to another ministry, another church, somewhere else where you're actually going to grow up. And I would consider that we would be total failures if you've been in Rock and you've been pursuing the gifts and you have no idea how to use them after being here a couple of years. Now, if you are neglecting to use them and you know how to use them, well, then you need to deal with God on that. But for you not to have any idea how to use the gifts of the Spirit, how to get the gifts of the Spirit, how to grow in the gifts of the Spirit, how to strengthen the gifts of the Spirit, then we've completely failed. I mean, our whole ministry is about releasing the kingdom of Christ. And that means operating in the gifts of the Spirit, right? So Paul says, I don't want you to be uninformed or ignorant. Now, you got to remember, the First Corinthian church, the church in Corinth that he's writing to in First Corinthians, they had their problems. They were not like, they had their problems. If you think you've got to be the godliest person in the world to be instructed about the gifts or to learn about the gifts. Paul was writing to a church that had, this is the same church he talked about, you weren't ready for me. You know, you could only handle milk. And you know, they had some problems with sexual immorality. And I mean, there's all sorts of things Paul's addressing in this church. And yet, that does not, just because you're still growing as a Christian and you're still working with your stuff and you're still in process, does not mean that you're not moving in the gifts of the Spirit. I think that's encouraging. Because sometimes people think, when I get really holy, when I get really devout, When I get really sanctified, then I'm going to get gifts. God will give me gifts. So again, it becomes a works mentality. They're grace gifts. They're given by grace, right? They're His gifts that He gives to us, and He gives us to it for a reason. Listen to this. It says, verse 4, 1 Corinthians 12:4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. All right? So, it's very important. I'm going to get it to the end. He says it again. The Spirit of God distributes the gifts. All right? There's some people out there, they almost feel like, I get to distribute the gifts, or you can go and choose your own gifts. We are to seek the gifts, but it says that the Spirit distributes them. God gives them. All right? So don't let anybody give you, you know, because even when a person who has an apostolic anointing lays hands on you and prays a prayer of impartation, that's not automatic. I've seen men of God that have been given the authority to impart gifts of the Spirit lay hands on one person who gets a gift and the next person doesn't, because it's the Spirit that distributes them. He uses us. But there's extremism out there. There's people that think, I have the authority to give these gifts to people. I want to say, Paul says no. They don't. The Spirit distributes them. And I'll just jump down to verse 11. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one, each person, according to His will, just as He determines. So, anybody that gives you this idea that you're in control of the gifts you get or somebody else is, they're taking God out of the equation, and that's just not balanced. Does God use people? Does God use our hunger? It says to pursue these gifts. We have our role to play. But let's just not forget that, you know, I mean, there are people, oh, God, I want the gift of faith. I want the gift of faith. Well, you know what? I think that there's been times where we've operated in the gift of faith, but it's not like a gift that just remains, you know? There's another gift here that's the gift, verse 10, the gift of working miraculous powers. This isn't just healing. Healing's mentioned before this. There's a gift called the worker of miracles, right? That's a gift of the Spirit, right? Anyway, let me just...
different than just healing the sick.
Yes, yeah. We're going to go through this list. Anyway, so there are different kinds of workings, verse 6, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God who's at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. This is an important thing in verse 7. The Spirit gives gifts. God gives gifts for the common good. Sometimes people get a gift and they're like, I got a gift. It's me. It's mine. You know, it's like they and they're using it to build themselves up, to validate themselves. And I have a ministry and I have a this. And they forget the fact that God gave these gifts individually to people for the common good. The common good. Right? So when we get into these gifts, as we're just going to consider them again today afresh, we as a community are seeking God for the release of these gifts for our common good. Right? Some people in this room might need a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge or a prophecy from somebody else for their good. Right? That's the way I believe God intends the gifts to work. He intends them to work in the church for the building up of the people in the church and for the extension of the kingdom outside the church. Not to make, you know, even Paul puts this down. Somebody says, I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos and I'm of this and I'm of that. I mean, the cult of the personality was happening back there in the book of Acts, and it's happened all throughout church history, and it's always going to happen. But the balance here is the Spirit gives the gifts. He gives them for the common good. He distributes them to individuals. And it goes on to this, say that to one there is given a spirit of the word of wisdom, and to another the message of knowledge or the word of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, the gift of faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the one Spirit. So it's interesting, there are multiple gifts of healing. It's not just one gift. According to what Paul says, it's actually plural, plural. Gifts, plural, of healings, plural. It's very awkward. It's not even proper English. But that's how it's portrayed in his letter in the Greek. Gifts of healings. It blows my mind. It's like there's more there than we can imagine, right? To another, miraculous powers. I love it. The Orthodox, they have a name for this gift. And they call some of their saints throughout history. If you've ever heard the term, he was a wonder worker.
Ooh.
The wonder worker.
That's nice.
Yeah. It's cool, huh?
Yeah,
they have names.
I want it.
You know, one of their saints, it's like, he was Gregory the wonder worker. What they were meaning was, he worked in the gift of miraculous powers, you know? Like Patrick of Ireland, when he went and he took that team and he would do the miracles against the druid fake priests, you know, the false demonic druid religion, and he would show the superiority of the gospel of Christ over and against the druid religion. And literally in Patrick's lifetime, I want to say 30 out of 60 of the tribes of Ireland had become Christian in the lifetime of St. Patrick. 30. And they never had an army. They didn't force it on anybody. It was just a band of disciples that went in there with the gospel of power, and they worked miracles and they preached the gospel. And every time another village or another valley would come to Christ, they would light a fire on the hill to say another region has fallen. I mean, Ireland has this incredible history. Even to this day, in Irish culture, even though, a lot of people in Ireland that identify as being, you know, Roman Catholic, maybe in terms of if you ask them what church they went to or belonged. But if you talk to Irish people and you talk to those who are really in tune with the culture, they still talk about, oh, she has the gift of sight. Like a prophetic gift that was like imparted into the Irish culture when the gospel came, they still acknowledge it in their culture. Now, the fact that it's in many cases probably been perverted and, you know, even the New Agers probably using it, but they still recognize, oh, that woman, she has the gift of sight, right? Like she has a prophetic gift. We'll get to that in a second, right? To another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, the distinguishing between spirits or the discerning of spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, interpretation of tongues, and all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them all individually just as he determines. Now, I wanted us to highlight a couple of these gifts right now because I believe that they are gifts that God wants to activate, release, strengthen, and move in right now because we need it. The word of wisdom. Right?
Yes.
Now, maybe at the end of this, I'll get into what is the difference between a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. There's not a lot of data on these things. There's more like opinions. So people get real dogmatic. You know, your favorite Bible teachers will talk. And yet everybody's dealing with the same passages. There's like three passages that everybody and somebody will describe this whole thing. So we got to hold some of this loosely. But one thing that highlights is that one thing I know about the word of wisdom is that it's wisdom. Okay? I don't know what else it is, but it has to do with wisdom. And we need wisdom right now in this time.
Yes.
We need it. The church needs wisdom. I need to know when somebody says, March 4th, the military's taking over and it's the restoration and that's the original inauguration date. I'm going to need wisdom next time. So I heard that and I actually wasn't thinking, I was checking the news yesterday, make sure that, but I didn't have a lot, you know, because these same people were saying all sorts of things in January and December that none of those things happened. So, you know, when somebody's like, that didn't happen, that didn't happen, that didn't happen, that didn't happen, but on March 4th, I'm going to believe that it's going to happen. So I think a lot of us have realized we need a lot more wisdom, you know, and then people are listening to this guy and that guy, and it's like, do you know that guy's into New Age mysticism? Like, oh, we didn't know that. Cancel out him. And that guy, he's this guy. And that person's repented now. He no longer believes in the prophets anymore. It's like, all right, we need some more wisdom. I think we could all agree right now. And there are so many voices right now, and they are canceling each other out. I'm telling you right now. Just go listen to Patricia King. Go listen to Mike Bickle. Well, go listen to Johnny Enlow and Kat Kerr, and you're going to get, and I just named four people, and you're going to get six opinions about what's going on.
All different.
Yeah. And some people believe we're now in judgment. The globe is, and the Antichrist is about to appear. There's that whole crowd, and that those people are beating their drum hard, and their conferences are well attended right now, virtually, you know, online, except in Texas, they can now go. But, or wherever the states have opened up. So it's unbelievable how much discernment and wisdom we need right now.
Yes.
We do. I mean, you know, we were sitting together last night and talking with Wendy and Murray, and it's like we were all in agreement that right now we need a lot of wisdom and a lot of discernment to understand. So we have a gift called the Word of Wisdom. How about you need a word of wisdom? You know, here's the word of wisdom. Like, you know, do I do this or do I not? The word of wisdom is no. That's a word. Like, you know, Subhash might need this word. Like, I could potentially right now get on a plane and go and be with Jemima. Like, let's just say that that was an option he had. And, you know, that would be something that I would think Subhash would need some wisdom on. Because, do I go? The word of the Lord is yes or no, right? You know, that could be a word of wisdom for you to know. It's like, and the wisdom is, if you do it, you can come back. Because that's the big thing right now. People are like, should I stay or should I go? It's like, maybe I should consider going. But the point is, nobody right now can come back. That's the issue, right? That's the big issue, right? Nobody can come back. So having a word of wisdom in this hour might be very practical for some of us in the weeks and months to come.
Yep.
You know? Do we take this vaccine or do we wait for another one? Or do we not take any of them? We need to know. We need to have wisdom from God. And we're going to get to the promise in James that when I finish this passage, because God promises to give us wisdom if we ask him for it. It's a promise that we can lean on. Right? So, another thing that's relevant, the word of knowledge. Now, I got a couple of words of knowledge in the last couple of days, and we got a word of knowledge that got us into that shop with the Bhutanese girl that wants to follow Jesus, and the Indian Christian, and the Nigerian Muslim that the word of knowledge was for. That was a word of knowledge, but a word of knowledge is knowledge, right? It's knowledge. It's information, right? So that's another thing I think some of us might need to know in the days to come. There might be, you know, and I don't know, this is where, Jiva, your question is, what's the difference between a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge? Well, you know what? It could be quite different. You know, somebody says the word of knowledge is the what, and the word of wisdom is the when or the discernment of the how, right? You know, it's like, you know, maybe in Subhash's case, it's like, okay, yes, go. And the wisdom is next month, right? The timing. It could be like something like that. Like the wisdom is to know how to do something, not just that you're supposed to do something, right? You know, sometimes you're supposed to go and maybe the Lord has revealed to you that that this person is caught in some secret sin that is, you know, in darkness. Okay? And the word of wisdom is, don't confront them publicly in the meeting, right? It's go to them privately. I would agree with that, by the way. Like, if you get a prophetic word about somebody in this room that's in some deep dark sin, this is not the place to say, V's like, hey, I just see, Dave, that you have this gross, disgusting sin in your life. Is that making any sense to you? Word of wisdom would be, if you get something for me, V, hey, can I talk to you? Step into the other room. That would be the wisdom of how to give a word. You might get the word. I mean, I tell you, I've gotten some. The Lord will show you things. Somebody says, oh, the Lord will never show you. The Lord will never show you prophetically somebody else's sin or something. No, yes, He will. Do you read the Nathan? Hello, Nathan. You're the man, David, right? Like, God will use a prophetic person. Now, He didn't do it. Now, of course, it's written in our Bibles. We all know the story. It's like it's broadcast right now, right? But it was personal at the time. It was one-on-one. I tell you right now, go around this room. And sometimes you get a word, and it's like that person's in trouble. And all that you're getting the word for is to pray. Yes. You're not supposed to go and talk to them about it. You begin to pray. So I think that we can easily say there's knowledge and wisdom, and that makes sense to us. But in this case, a word or a message of wisdom and a message of knowledge are things that right now I really think that we need to be pressing into God in our community and saying, God, we need to see more words of wisdom and more words of knowledge.
Yes.
That we could trust that God's going to lead us through some very complicated decisions in the months, weeks and months to come by the Spirit in a way that we can be encouraged that God is leading us. Yes. And that things are getting confirmed. You know, there's nothing worse than, making a huge decision without any confirmation, without any confirmation from others or any kind of whatever. It's very, it's much easier to make a big decision or a difficult decision when you really feel like not only has God spoken to me, He's spoken to the community that we're in, He's confirmed it, right?
Yes.
We can expect God to do that. Another one is prophecy. We're listening to these prophets continually, these prophets and these prophetesses. I will not go to the politically correct. I'm going to continue to call females that prophesy prophetesses and males that prophesy prophets. I don't like this terrible direction in the English language where we're trying to take away gender, right? Actor and actress. I'm not going to go with, they're all actors now. No, they're not. They're actresses. They still, at the Academy Awards, they have the best actress.
That's right.
And the best supporting actress. It's so politically incorrect, but, they still differentiate between that. That's going out of the English language. Any kind of gender distinction with titles is trying to go out. So I will not give up the word prophetess. I like these terms too much. It's just fun to say a prophetess.
Yes.
It's more fun than prophet. Prophets.
Prophetess.
Right? It's beautiful.
Indian and the Middle Eastern language.
Oh yeah, they'll keep it. Yeah, because of, well, the Arabic will keep it because it's grammar. You can't do it. Grammar, you take the same word and you add one letter onto it to turn it into a feminine. Masculine and feminine is the same word with just this little ending. Anyway, let's go on. So prophecy right now, I believe that we need to be contending and paying more attention to the visions and the dreams that we're getting to help us clarify vision in this hour. You know, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. It's a promise from the day of Pentecost.
Yes.
Until the time Jesus returns, we can be a prophetic people. The distinguishing of spirits. All right. This is so, I think, important because right now, if you are going to listen to someone, it's very important that you know what spirit they're of.
Yeah.
You've got to know what spirit they are being controlled by.
Yeah.
And if they're being controlled by the Spirit of God, then let's go with them. But right now, there are people that are being controlled by the fear of man. There are prophets that had the word of the Lord 5 months ago, and today they backed away from it because they could not handle the reproach and the "you're a false prophet" and "we don't believe you." They couldn't handle.
Yeah.
They couldn't handle the opinion of others. I would say don't follow those people right now. Don't listen to if somebody is being controlled by the spirit of the fear of man. We need to be able to discern what spirit people are being controlled by. I think that when you get on the social media of people in ministry, you can oftentimes discern that there's a spirit in operation here that doesn't seem right sometimes. Has anybody ever seen anybody? It seems like, you know, this ministry seems all about this person, right? All about self-promotion, all about, right? You know?
Yeah.
So I think that that can be a spirit. We can discern, like, we need to be discerning the spirits that are behind things, right? And we need to be discerning of what is motivating us.
Yes.
We want to be those who are led by the Spirit and not led by the spirit of, you know, like the fear, you know, like if I was led yesterday by the spirit of the fear of man, I would not have walked back into a coffee shop and said to 12 people publicly, "Who has a pain right here?" I had to overcome any, what if I got it wrong? What if somebody said, "You can't do that here, I'm going to report you"? That's never happened, by the way. I mean, people imagine that these kinds of things happen. One time, one night, we got in problem when we were out treasure hunting and we were in Farawania. On the other side of the sixth ring, where all the furniture places are out there, where old Sears was. And this guy was following us around, and he was a Motawa guy. And he was bothering us, and he was telling people, "Don't listen to these guys. Don't let them pray for you." I mean, he was a problem. And he worked for the ministry.
He was a problem.
He was a problem. And, you know, it's Savio and Sandra and a couple people. I mean, we're going around, and this guy's literally, like, following us around.
Frankie, say, "Don't listen to those kids of God."
No, 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 no. This guy. Oh yeah, the whole thing. And so, you know what I did? I walked right up to him and says, "I'm going to call the police on you." I called the police on him. And he works for the Ministry of Islamic Affairs. And then he got in his car and he drove away. He got afraid when I got a Kuwaiti policeman on the phone. He was Egyptian. And whatever. And I just said, "I've got this guy here, and his license plate," and this guy's like, "What, not letting me see his car, and he's driving around." But I want to tell you, that was the only time that we've ever had
like
any problem
in 20 years.
In 20
years.
Years.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Of praying for anybody or offering to. And you know, I remember one time we were in Selnia. I mean, and there's like a whole group of cops, right? Policemen,
yeah.
You know, whole group of cops, so American, whole group of policemen. And I went up to him and I started talking to him because there's a guy right next to him selling illegal DVDs.
Movies, yeah.
Movies, on the ground. And I just had to go up to him. I'm like, okay, I got a question. So this guy right there, over there, he's selling illegal copies of movies and you guys are policemen. What's up? He's like, mesquite, you know, fuck.
Poor guy, what's he gonna do?
Poor guy, he's poor, you know. Oh, you know. Anyway.
You weren't trying to report it, it was obvious.
No, I was just being funny. No, they were standing right next to him. I wasn't reporting on him. I was just wondering why they were not even beginning to think about enforcing the law. In
so
any way, shape, or form. What do you mean, began to buy them? We've been buying those DVDs over here. Listen. But then I got a word of knowledge for one of the policemen and prayed for him right there in public and saw me and nothing, no problem. I'm telling you, this idea that no, you can't do those kind of, it's like, it's a lie from the pit of hell. Yeah. Like that you cannot love people in Jesus' name,
yeah.
Right? I'm not saying there's not times where you're not going to get some pushback or some whatever, but I want to tell you right now, in 20 years, it's never been, I get in more trouble. I've gotten in more trouble in America, yes, trying to do this than I have in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Crazy. the two times I was kicked out of a mall, one was in Dallas, Texas, by this obnoxious guy, a security guard. Even the policeman that was at the edge of the mall, because when you're walking into the mall, you have the Dallas Police Department there, and then this is the mall security, like this, the mall cop, you know, if you ever saw that funny movie, this guy. So, you know, he doesn't even have a gun, right? He's not even, you know, he's the mall cop. And he just didn't like Christians, and he's kicking me out. And anyway, but it was funny because the policeman,
the real policeman
said, listen, I'm a Christian. I care less that you pray for people in the mall, but that's their mall, and, you know, you're going to have to. So we took it outside, and we just carried on outside on the front. So I got kicked out of a mall. And the other time I got kicked out of a mall was in Lebanon by Christians. Not by Muslims, not in a Muslim mall. I've never gotten kicked out of a Muslim-operated mall. I got kicked out of a Christian mall. It was the big mall called City Mall there, right on the, you know, on the, some of us have been there, you know, to do outreach. Anyway, I got kicked out. I was wearing my priest's collar even. And they kicked me out in a rainstorm. And so we're ministering. No. And they even felt bad, but they're just like, listen, we just didn't have authorization, and we know you're a priest. And I mean, and so I got kicked out of a mall by Christians and by some grumpy guy in Dallas. Never got kicked out of a mall in any Muslim country anywhere. So anyway, that's just a side note. All right.
Nice side note.
James 1:5 says this, but if any of you needs or lacks wisdom, you should ask God for it. He is generous to everyone, not just to some, not just to special people. He is generous to everyone, and he will give you wisdom without criticizing you.
Come on.
It's so awesome. All the translations say he will give you wisdom without reproach. We don't even use this word reproach, right? I'm like, what does that even mean? So I'm starting to look at, like, what is that even intended? And then this translation, he will give you wisdom without criticizing you. Without finding fault, ungrudgingly is the other words. Without finding fault. That's a great thing. Like, you know, if you keep going back to the same person and asking them the same question over and over again, sometimes people make you feel like an idiot, but God won't. You know, he's gracious. Like, even though he told you what you're supposed to do, and he keeps telling you every week when Dave yells at you what you're supposed to do, you can still ask him on Tuesday, God, am I supposed to pray for the sick this week and release the kingdom? And he will, I might be a little bit tougher and say, I told you last week, it's in the word. But he won't criticize you. He'll actually just say again, without criticizing you, without finding fault, yes, you are. And he'll be encouraging because he's generous. So that's a promise we should stand on right now. Yes. James 1:5, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God for it, who is generous and will give to everyone.
Amen.
Everyone. And I love it, without criticizing you. Yeah. Sometimes we don't do things because we're afraid we're going to get criticized.
True.
We don't want the rebuke. I mean, I even find this dynamic at work. You know, we've got all these changes going on and people are hesitant to go to the new director to ask for questions because they're not sure, was this explained or not?
And he's a little scary.
Yeah, he is. He's scaring everyone right now. Not me, but he's scaring people. He
has very colorful language.
Yeah. Anyway, he's American.
Frankly is exactly the word he uses.
Yeah, he uses. Yes, he uses that.
Anyway, scared.
So I think that we can jump on 1 Chronicles 12:32. From the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times, right? And, of course, we're New Testament believers, so men and women. So we are the sons and daughters of Issachar, men and women who had understanding of the times. That understood the times did not hit me like they had understanding of the times. That is what we need right now. We need to understand the times in which we're living. We need to understand the times, the timing. We need to understand the timing. It's 1 Chronicles 12:32. I'll post these notes afterwards. I'll drop them into our chat. So I love that. We have, if in the Old Testament, before the Holy Spirit was given as a permanent indwelling residence for believers, these men had understanding of the times and they knew, they had knowledge of what Israel should do. So, I am praying this prayer regularly. God, I want to be a son of Issachar. I want to have understanding of the times and knowledge of what we should do. So, we're going to actually, when we go into prayer after this and go into worship, we're going to actually go after some of these promises and some of this stuff. Cry out. So, at the end of this message, I have a 6-point Holy Ghost to-do list.